Good morning to my guests there, Evelyn Barker and Natalie Eastwood.
Yes,
good morning. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good morning.
Good to have you on board, ladies. Now, first up, that first song there was called, that was sung by the Wolverines, and it was called Living on the Right Side of Town. Maybe we could change the words saying living on the white side of town for this program today.
I like it.
Sounds good stuff.
Because it's mostly Indigenous houses that have been demolished on the Gordon Estate. Is it not, ladies?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, tell me first, Evelyn, tell me your mob, your tribal group.
I'm a Murawari woman from Brawarna. Born in Brawarna. My meat is the red kangaroo. And I was born on the red on the fisheries. The famous fisheries at Brawarna, which is in the World Heritage listed. And, my little town, population of about, over 1,000 when we grew up. And I still like that little town.
Evelyn, you're telling us you're a Murawari woman from Brawarna. Okay. And you're in Wiradjuri country, Dubbo, Wiradjuri country?
I'm Wiradjuri through my father, but we go our mother's way, so I'm Murawari too, you see? That's the main
right.
one.
Right.
That's the main one.
Now, I'll be passing through the Murawari country later on today.
Lovely.
On the way to Burke.
Lovely country, mate.
Yeah, it's lovely country.
Yep.
Plenty of emu out that way.
Yeah, heaps of emu out that way, mate.
Yeah,
red kangaroos, big bundat.
Yeah.
Big kangaroos there.
Natalie, tell us your mob.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, I suppose.
Tell us your countrymen, your mob.
I'm named by a woman, Brawarna. I'm from there, on my family. But I live in Dubbo. My mother moved from Brawarna, from the small country town, to... as she says, make a better lifestyle for us. For the simple fact there was nothing that was in the small towns as far as health, housing and doctors,
all right.
And education and everything like that, so we moved to Dubbo.
Okay.
Yep.
Back to Evelyn. Evelyn, tell us some of the organisations in the local area that you're involved with. And in your what capacity?
Okay, at the moment I'm on circle sentencing.
And circle sentencing is what?
Oh, that's a group of elders where we meet in our own country. We meet with the magistrate, the police prosecutor.
So that's dealing with justice issues?
We are dealing with justice issues and we look at rehabilitating our people rather than jail and we let the magistrate know that. I certainly do anyway, that jail isn't the answer for us. We want to help our people get into some programs and rehabilitate. So
we'll come back and get some comments just on the successes of the circle sentencing.
Okay.
What other organisations?
I'm on the Working Party. They've just asked me to join that. I'm on the Women's Alliance group, which is a group of Aboriginal women and non-Aboriginal women in Dubbo who look at lots of issues and we take up a lot of them. I still need to learn a little bit more about this group. I'm currently sitting back and listening. I am a member of the local land council. I attend the community justice. I'm on that committee. And what else is going that will benefit our community?
So you've got a big interest in the community, and are very involved.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, and I've always been. Certainly, I like women's issues. I'm strong on that side of it. And our children, I haven't got involved much with the local night patrol, but I tend to go to bed pretty early these days, Tiger. Must be the old age sneaking in.
Must be age. All right, Natalie, tell us. You involved with in the community?
I'm involved in the Dubbo Aboriginal Working Party. I've been on there for about 12 months, I think, now. Also, I'm involved in the Dubbo Gordon Estate Tenancy Group, which is a group that's been running for 18 months, trying to improve our community. And this is what we got by improving our community, accidents. The word accidents thrown at us.
Tell us then. How many houses are being demolished and why?
There's about There's about 2-3 houses per day that have been demolished. Nothing's wrong with these houses. It's just that they're saying that they're doing it for the social side of the social side of things, but there's a problem over here that the Dubbo community doesn't want to deal with. They don't want to face up to it. And
what is that problem?
The problem is, well, drugs, alcohol, domestic violence. You've got the other side of it, the town being racist, won't give our people a go in the main streets of Dubbo. It's just everything. It's just, they just will not.
So you think racism plays a part
It's a big thing here in Dubbo, racism. There's a big problem at the moment with us from the Gordon Estate tenant that are living over in the Department of Housing houses for us to actually move into other sectors of the community.
That's going to cause some problems for the white residents.
Well, it is, because so far there's an article that was in the paper about the real estate didn't want to sell because they knew that the Aboriginal people were... It wasn't put into them words, but you knew that it was because the Aboriginal housing officer were buying houses and the real estate, and then there also was a rumour going around that the prices were going up also with the real estate. Now, we've got a problem at the moment, like people being moved, and the Department of Housing is starting to really put their foot down on the people. And I just find it quite sad. Why are we living like this today in 2006? Why are we still being told what to do by white people? I don't get it.
Well, there's also a serious housing crisis in Black Australia right across the country.
And they call this, what they're doing over here, white man's word for this, what's going on over here is called progress. And I'm seeing destruction and greed.
A dislocation, dysfunction, yeah.
Yes. I just don't understand how they can just come in, and I feel so... I feel it, I live it every day with what I'm seeing for our future kids. Our future generation have nothing. If this is going to continue to happen the way it's happening.
Natalie, are these houses empty, or are people... Have they been vacated for some time, or are people being told, get out by such and such a date because the place is going to be demolished? And are they being relocated, or are they moving with family or mainstream rental?
I believe that they're trying to push them all back into the small community. This is my personal belief. This is what they're trying to do. And for the ones that have been here like long-term residents, say over the 5 to 10 year period, they can stay here. But the ones that have come from the small towns, I believe that they're trying to push them back to the small towns where they come from.
So are they being offered housing? Are they being offered alternative housing?
Yes, they've been offered there, and there's a house shortage at the moment here in Dubbo. There's not enough houses. Money's been frozen for the purchase of houses. And one of the biggest things with myself is my family. There's myself, my mother and my sister, which what they call Precinct 2, where they actually develop bulldozing at the moment. And now my mother's been allocated a house. My sister worked to be... They're saying that they're going to put us in the same area, but it's like that we're going to be separated. And I'm quite peed off because of the simple fact Department of Housing have put a white family together in another area, side by side, a mother and a daughter. If they can do that for a white family, why can't they do that for a black family?
Evelyn Barker, tell me, what do you think an option or the alternatives here? Does it have to come to this where houses, when we're in a serious housing crisis, did these houses have to be demolished and families dislocated and relocated, displaced?
No, look, they don't, Tiger. They're taking the easy way out again on it. They have segregated us, they have removed us, they have assimilated us. We're still here. We need to start to get back as elders and start to help pick up the lives and have some say over our communities. These non-Aboriginal people need to step back and let our elders come together and support us, because they're still holding the laws that are here interfering with us and stopping us to come forward and be able to start taking control and looking at our communities. Now, one of the things I really do fight strongly on, and that is violence. Violence-free communities, because I've worked in women's services, I've been part of it, and it's something that we should no longer be able to have to tolerate. So as soon as they start stepping back and letting us have some say over our communities, then we can start from that angle. Fetching in bulldozers and dozing it, I mean, it looks like Gaza over here on some of these days. This is what we're having to put up with. The houses are in good condition. People are now doubling up and living in houses together because Aboriginal families won't kick their kids out in the street. We take our kids back in, we live together. So what's been happening is you've got now overcrowding, because some families are still taking back their families and moving in and living with them. So, you know, I think the sooner they let us sit down and start to sort out our own things ourselves, and I mean, they've given us, they say, some rights to do this, but the structures have been under white structure. Let us sit down under our structure and do it.
They have dictated the terms for you, haven't they?
Exactly.
That's your problem.
That's right. And they keep saying it's our mistake when they are the ones that are putting the white structures up, expecting us to fit in and blaming us for mistakes that they're making and their policies.
Let's look at the history of Dubbo. I mean, Dubbo is a resettlement area. You've got people that have moved in from Dubbo to Dubbo from all over New South Wales, virtually.
Well, they moved people in, but did they create employment for people who moved in? And did they open up and allow the education department and target Aboriginal children to go through year 11 and 12 so we could have our children into doctor's positions, solicitor's positions, whatever position that a non-Aboriginal child goes through school and holds, our children can do the same. We don't believe our children are less able to do it. Our children can do it, given the opportunity to be able to do it. And I don't think those opportunities are being created even today. It's a struggle to get opportunities there for our children to hold their own within non-Aboriginal society.
Natalie was saying that racism is still very strong in the Dubbo area. What are your feelings?
Well, I think the Sydney University did a survey recently and Dubbo came out as the most racist city in New South Wales. So I think Dubbo's... I mean, I haven't heard a lot about that, but that was a survey that was done. And that speaks for itself. And there is a lot of it here. The people are just using this to try and cover up mistakes that if we all had to get together, I'm sure that we can solve these things, you know?
They are not insurmountable. They're not unsolvable, are they?
They're not. It's a matter of treating people equal. It's a matter of letting us get together and talking about it, sitting down, giving us an opportunity, letting them be there, the opportunity, create them. And let us have a go, you know. Give us a go. We'll show.
Evelyn, there is some concerns, like there are the houses that have been burnt down over a period of time, car chases and stuff like that. There's some concern that maybe this, the people responsible for burning houses down have never been caught, from what I understand. People in stolen cars or car chases, a number of them never been caught. So there is a bit of an attitude or a concern in the Koori community of Dubbo that maybe it's all a bit of a setup to make to justify this sort of action and have big developers come in and buy up this vacant area.
Yeah, well, this is it. And also, look, the community have said...
Is that what's happening? Like, is there an attitude? Do people have some
people
concerns?
Are thinking that it is another land grab, Tiger, it is good land. And we have a special breeze that comes through here summertime, and I was only saying to my partner last summer, this land's good land, it looks after us. Look at this breeze. I bet these, we call them gubbers down here, I bet they've got the breeze monitored, and I bet they're watching us and watching this land. Sure enough, it happened this year, because it's special land here.
It is.
The hottest day of a night, you still get this cool breeze that comes through here. So, you know, our old people, our spirits, whichever they're looking after us in this land, and it's special land, and they're still taking the special land from us, even today,
Evelyn,
Tiger.
Were people given opportunity to buy the houses? What's happening in that regard?
Well, I think, and when you ask Natalie, I think her mother recently wanted to do that, and years ago, and I think Natalie fill you in on that full story, but she didn't seem to have that opportunity there, whereas non-Aboriginal people did. Now, I managed to buy here through a an auction, but even now I believe that the people who are buying are under threat as well, so because there's a large group of people, and Natalie knows a little bit about it, she might tell you.
Well, we'll get
to
ask Natalie then.
Later, but it's supposed to have been bought up. So, you know, things are not looking too good here at the moment.
It's very similar to Redfern, isn't it, where the state government is making a move on the Aboriginal Housing Corporation.
Look, I think this is a trend. If we're not careful, Tiger, this will overtake and we'll be moving. Our communities will face the same thing right across if they're sitting on good land again.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yep.
Natalie, let me ask you, was there an opportunity for a resident or a choice for residents, those that might have been in a position to buy a home, which might be a very small number, was there an opportunity for them to buy?
Yeah, apparently there was a policy that was put in place for Department of Housing to give the rent payers, the tenants, an opportunity to buy, like ask them if they'd like to purchase their house. My mum's been in her home for 23 years, and not once was she given that offer to purchase her house. But it was in their policy for Department of Housing to make that, proceed with that to the tenants. But as we found out along the lines, it's never happened. So they've been, the policy's been there for them to, because I know of a lady, a white lady, that done a rent-to-buy scheme through her house, through Department of Housing, and she brought her papers around to her and showed Mum what the papers were, and this is how she bought her Department of Housing house. And Mum asked the question, well, why wasn't I given that opportunity? So Mum made that inquiry into why she was given that opportunity, and there was no answer given.
All right. My guests, Evelyn Barker and Natalie Eastwood, are talking to me from Dubbo. They are local residents, and we're talking about the issue of numerous houses being knocked down in the Gordon Estate, West Dubbo. Evelyn, you and your partner were out last night doing a doing a tally up of the houses that are gone.
Yep.
You said there's some 50 houses or more.
Some 50
already gone.
Yeah, all gone, mate. Look, it's just so bad. And I tell you, it's a real funny feeling within yourself when you walk around and suddenly there's a good house there and it's gone the next thing. You know.
Some relatively new houses.
Relatively new, good in good condition. Just a bulldozer coming in, mate, and knocking them.
Who's where does the local council sit on this? I mean, who's demolishing the houses? That sort of stuff.
Well, there was a council member there was a company here called Fardell. They were knocking them down. We had a community meeting. We wanted to know why was a member of the council who had a name by Fardell and the company coming in knocking houses down Fardell. So, anyways, that moved on, and another mob have moved in. And I don't know, Natalie might know a little bit more about that one, but anyways, we also wanted to ask about the blocks of land, who purchased them in the past and who currently owns them at the moment. That's something else we want to look at, because we believe the Shire Council, you know, they know a lot of stuff that can happen. Is there a conflict of interest here when it comes to Westside?
You think there's a lot of information being withheld?
Well, a lot of information being withheld, and they also know a lot of information that can happen and plans and that. And so who was buying these blocks of land that were going quite cheap one part? And we even applied to see if we could get some. I mean, we don't have much money, but we asked. There was no way we could buy even a house or a block of land. So someone knew something here, but it was only between a few selected people, I can tell you. Not Aboriginal people, not us. We were out of it.
Who do you think is buying up houses there? Do you think it's going to be like developers or somebody? What do you think?
Well, there's been a rumour that there's a group of people that have already paid a certain amount of money for all of this area. And you might want to ask Natalie. Natalie's got a lot of knowledge, brother.
All right, then.
I sort of... Look, I just want to raise one other thing, the burning of the houses and stealing of cars. Now, our young people, we don't say that is the correct thing to do, but we believe that if police and us can get a form of partnership, that we could look at stopping a lot of this. And a lot of the community always says they know who's doing the houses, they know who's stealing the car. Also, there's been rumours that insurance cars are being dumped in Westside and other cars that are stolen have been dumped on Westside, and we get the blame for some of this too. It's not always our stuff that's happening. That needs to be spoke about as well.
So you feel that if there was some more engagement between Indigenous people there in the community and groups like the police and other authorities, you could work out some of these issues?
I believe, if we had to sit down as a community and talk about this and come up with ideas together, I think we can pretty well look at the burning of the houses and who's doing it, because they say it's the same young people and the cars that are stolen. We need to also get the other side of the story out. I do believe that, Tiger.
Charged or anything with the houses, burning houses?
Sorry?
Has anybody been pinched for the houses being burnt down?
No, I don't think so. Look, I'm not fully up on it, but not that
that's
I know.
That's all right. Let me ask Natalie. What she knows about the actual land after the houses have been demolished, the land being sold, is it going to be developed? What do you know, Natalie?
Well, there's a whisper that the house has been, the block's been sold for $25 million to
that's private
developers.
The whole area?
Yeah, that's to private developers, mind you. But I'd like to know, how long has this been in the pipeline of this has been going on? Over here in the Gordon Estate, this is the best part of town. Now, you look at Dubbo on a whole. Dubbo's grown very uneven. Now, when you go out to, as far as Wongarvan, it's got something to do with the septic tanks and the sewerage and all that. They can't go out that further, out that way anymore, because it's going to cost, there's hidden costs there to have that done. But they won't build it out, come out further to even it up so it can go out as far as Narromine. So there's a lot of, I'm very suspicious on what's going on, and it's time for the white fellas are saying it's time for you black fellas to move on. We want the land. You've got to go.
Yeah.
And they're not coming straight to the point and saying that. They're using the social side of things to say that's why they're exiting the Gordon Estate.
But
there's a lot of foul play that's going on here, and it needs to be investigated, because I believe, my personal belief, Dubbo City Council, Department of Housing, the police, I have two audit reports, an audit report that was done in 1999 about the Gordon Estate, but the police officer that done the audit report in 1999, well, he wasn't qualified to do it. So, okay, they step up to the plate and they do another audit report in 2005. Now, I think in that audit report there was 20 recommendations that were done. Now, the Gordon Centre itself was involved, Department of Housing, Police, Dubbo Police, Dubbo City Council. We all had our part to do. But I found out that in that time period, no one was coming together and sitting down and yarning. We as a group, the residents group, we fought for the stolen cars. We wanted to have speed humps and roundabouts put in over there. And, Department of Housing told us that it's an RTA, it's a safety issue to have it. But I sat down and I looked at down at Mount Druitt and all them places down there. They've got all these speed humps and they've got all these roundabouts in place. Well, why couldn't we have it?
Don't you have any over East Dubbo? There's some of that sort of stuff in East Dubbo? No speed humps right over there?
We have them in the flash areas of the town. But the Gordon, my belief is the Gordon Estate was neglected, plain and simple. No one would want to step up to the plate. It'd take the police about 40 minutes to get over there to do a job. Now, that tells me that there's something going on. And as far as the houses being burnt down and that, with so many houses being burned down, why wasn't there an investigation into that?
Yes, no, there's certainly a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered,
and people need to be accountable. Okay, they say that us black people need to be accountable for what we're doing. I think it's about time us black people stood up and made these white people accountable, because they want us to live their lifestyle, not our lifestyle.
What's the feeling of the general community, like the Aboriginal community in Dubbo? How do they feel about this?
They're just kicked in the guts about it, and they don't know where to go, what to do, who to turn to. There's no leadership. No leader. I'm not going to say leadership. I'm going to say leader. No leader in this country to stand up for the people. And I find it very frustrating as a young Aboriginal mother. What I am seeing for my future people, I see is very frustrating. And it just angered me. And then they turn around when you speak out, they want to put you in a different class because you tell them the truth of how things are. Because they don't want to hear the truth. I always say, I am not white, I am black, I want to live the way I want to live. I do not want to get myself in debt and have a big flash house and have a big flash car. I want to live day to day and look after my family. That's all I ask of. Why is it that you want me to be white when I am black?
Evelyn, circle sentencing, you mentioned earlier. You're involved with circle sentencing, and that's working with justice issues.
That is.
Tell us about that.
Look, we first of all have an assessment on the client that the magistrate refers to. Sit down, we have a yarn with them. We ask them, are they prepared to respect us as elders, respect where we come from and what we want, and we will tell them what we expect of them. If they
and you're sitting down
that,
with them with a magistrate. There's a magistrate.
No, we sit down on our
elders.
Own.
Okay,
we
elders
sit down
are with
on
them,
our
so.
Own. Yeah.
Yep.
Then we'll go out later, and it's then with the magistrate, the police prosecutor. They'll have their solicitor, they can have their family as support. And three or four of us elders, we will then sit down, and that's when we start to thrash out. We ask them and question them, and the magistrate is there. And why did they do it? What did they bash their partner? What major? If they've had other problems, if they're harmless. We like to go into that side of it as well. Mm. And ask them if they have a job, you know, it's, and how's their payments going, just things like that. Anyway,
you try and look at the whole situation, all the circumstances surrounding it.
Yeah, because I mean, you can look at the domestic violence. We don't want it, but other things can create it too. We have to look at that side of it.
Are you happy with the results? Is it like how long has it been going for?
Been going. Oh, Dizzy got me here. I've been only on this a couple of months, mate. I can't give you...
Have you gone for a year or so?
Oh, yeah, over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you see it? Like, do you think it's worthwhile continuing? Is it good results?
Well, we think it is. I mean, one of the aims is that we are keeping people out of jail now. One of the people, police have, prosecutors said that go to circle sentencing, you'll stay out of jail. But so what we said to the magistrate, can we meet with him so we can sit down and throw it back and forth until we're all happy and quite clear on where we come from and what we want. And it's quite clear that we really don't want jail for our people. It's not always the answer.
That's right, it's not always the answer.
No. We just recently put a young fellow away, but he went away to residential rehabilitation, and we've seen that as a good positive thing in it. He will go through a DNA course and he'll do anger management. Hopefully that may turn him around. This is the best that we can use at the moment, without actually being able to take them back out on the land and really get down to some good stuff out there. We can only use what structures have given us.
Yeah.
So it's something positive we feel, and we are hanging on to it, Tiger. So that's something good, yeah.
And you would like to wind up with? Any point you want to make?
Look, I do want to wind up with something. I think at the moment, Tiger, we're suffering in silence. We've got to really come out. We've got to get our voice back. We've got to mobilise our people. It is a hard thing because we've had a real struggle. And get behind our young, and our young listen to elders. Together, we can take the fight forward. Ask our young, you know, stop self-destructing. Get about this and start sitting down and listening. And respect for the elders, let's start getting together, sitting down and planning some stuff. And I think, you know, we can start to get back to the drawing board again, and we can take it forward in our way, Tiger.
You need to start setting our agendas.
Yeah, we do our own stuff, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
No, you're right there. We've got a wealth of energy with our young people out there.
There's
a very it could be a very bright future if we can harness that energy.
Well, our young are very bright at the moment, you know. We are fighting drugs, we're fighting alcohol, and this is stuff that we've got to stand up and say to them, look, stop destroying yourself. Just come around and listen to us. Elders have got to come up and not let our young down. Get our voice going again, you know.
You're right there. Ladies, thank you very much for your time this morning. I certainly appreciate giving me this time out of your day and your busy lives and the struggles that you...
Can I just finish up with something?
Yes, yes.
I just like that. One of my biggest things is I just like to know, when is this cycle of the white man going to stop?
That's controlling black lives.
Yes, and telling us how to live our lives and knowing what's best for us. That is my biggest... When is it going to stop?
Yep, that's a good point to finish on.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Natalie.
Thank you.
And thank you, Evelyn.
Thank you, Michael.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, that was Evelyn Barker and Natalie Eastwood talking to me from Dubbo. And as you can hear, there are some serious situations happening on the East Coast. It's not all just Indigenous communities being attacked in Northern Territory and Central Australia and over in the West. There are some serious situations. Redfern, land grab. Dubbo, Gordon Estate, land grab. This is the situation. Like I said earlier, that song from the Wolverines, they say it's living on the right side of town. In this case, it's about living on the white side of town, I think. It's certainly a serious situation. We heard yesterday Gary Hyland talking about the killing times and closing the gap of the health gap. The gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians is just shocking. The fact that this country is the only developed country in the world that has a trachoma problem is an indictment. That's an indictment on this society, on this country. For these people in Dubbo to have houses, perfectly good houses, bulldozed, creating another problem of overcrowding, of people being forced to go and live in a white side of town, say, or anywhere else in town or another town, is removing the problem from the Gordon Estate to wherever things aren't being resolved. So all in all, Aboriginal people do feel under attack, seriously under attack. Again, with the Redfern land grab. So it's just not a good time. And still, in spite of all this, Aboriginal people are able to step up to the mark and confront the daily challenges, getting kids to school, getting off to work, being mums and dads and carers and what have you, still able to step up to the mark and take care of these responsibilities in spite of being under constant attack. So it's time for people to speak out. Contact your local member. Talk to somebody in your community. State government, federal governments, speak out against this injustice that's taking place right across the country.